fantastic job teaching Wednesday night, man. If you want to, you know, a lot of times we just flow on Sunday mornings, and you're like, man, I just want to get in there where I can just get in, dive in the Word and study in the Word. Wednesday night's the time for that. So you guys come on Wednesday, but Nick did a fantastic job Wednesday. But I got up and shared for just a few minutes before Nick taught, and I said this week has been the most difficult week that I've ever had as a minister, that I've ever had to walk through anything. But at the same time, I feel like it's been the most fulfilling and the most tangible that I have felt God's presence over an extended period of time that was not associated with a revival service or anything like that. It's much deeper than that. Because I've been in some amazing services in my 30 years of chasing after God, but this week trumped all of that. This week trumped all of that. It really, really did. And the thing is, it's just in the depth of the wave this week that I felt. Not necessarily height, but the volume has been tremendous. And I want to commend you as a church body for the way you guys have demonstrated the love of Christ in its purest sense. You guys have been amazing in that. And I want to commend you. I've been so, so proud of just to be a part of this body and to be a part, to do life with you guys. I have been so, so proud of that. Not just Monday, but the way that you have selflessly come in and just demonstrated Christ. And I have seen Christ way more than any type of gifting or anything like that. See, a lot of times we mistake gifting for anointing or presence and all that. But I want to go ahead and tell you something, guys. I can go to a pretty much about any bar around Atlanta on Friday night and see talent or gifting. But what you are flowing in and what you have flowed in this past week has been heaven. It's been heaven. And I'm echoing what Jacob and Stephanie have felt, because we've been with them every day. They're going to get tired of us and going to run us off at some point. But, you know, we're every day with them, and the evening's late. And I'm simply echoing the same thing that they've been saying. They've been blown away by God's presence through you guys. And, you know, it goes back to the scripture that the Lord put in my spirit a couple weeks ago, and I think it was for this, was that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let's turn in the Bible, and I want to just share the scripture. I'm not going to keep you long today. We'll come in and we'll hit some good teaching Wednesday night. But I want to turn in your Bible, if you will, to Mark chapter 12. Verse 41, I'm going to read just a couple verses, and then I'm going to explain what I feel like the Lord spoke to me this morning concerning today. This is the story of Jesus and what we call Jesus and the widow's mite. And Jesus is in the temple. He's in Jerusalem. Verse 41, it says that, everybody there? Y'all good? Mark 12. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, two copper coins, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples. It so moved Jesus, and Jesus so marveled at this. He said, I've got to stop what's going on. I've got to bring my disciples over here and use this as a teaching point to them. Because this is big, and I want them to see this. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Bill Johnson says something that I totally agree with 1,000%, and I absolutely love, and it moves me and stirs me and challenges me. And Bill Johnson says that if our gift, if our faith that we bring doesn't move us, then how can we expect it to move heaven? If my gift or my offering, if what I bring doesn't stir in me, how do I expect it to hurt to stir Him? Monday was a phenomenal day in the sense of the impact that it had on people. And you guys parked about 400 cars in the fields around here, which means there was probably 800, 900 people in this place, packed in all the seams and all of that stuff. And the presence of God was so tangible and so amazing. I've since then, I've had people come up to me and say, I'm reevaluating my life and the priorities of my life. I'm reevaluating my career. I've had people come up to me and say, I'm reevaluating my career. Because this week I have been so made aware of what really matters. The presence in this building was so amazing that I don't have words to describe it. I had a report that was shared with me last night of an individual that lives about a mile from here, and they did not come to the funeral, but they knew it was taking place, and they were praying for Jacob and Stephanie at their house a mile from here. And they said that when it started raining, they felt the presence of God rush into their home so strong, it was tangible. And the Lord asked me a question. He said, what do you think caused that intense presence? Was it the gravity of the situation? Where pain is deep, mercy's deeper? Partly. But the Lord said to me, the thing that stirred heaven was that I saw a lot of people, a group of people, not just Victory Fellowship, but a group of believers, a community of believers, that came and they gave 2 copper coins. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to expound on that because I'm not getting the depth of this. He said, what did you have Monday? I said, I had hope and I had love. And that was the only thing I had. I had zero answers. I can't say I had faith to move mountains. But I had hope. And I had love for them, and I had love for Him, and nothing could change that on either level. None of us had a enormous amount to bring as far as different coins. None of us were well equipped enough or gifted enough to release the kind of anointing that would impact people the way that it impacted people. I can't preach that good. She can't preach that good. The other young lady that spoke, she's scared to death before it started. But she came with 2 coins. And it was hope. And it was love. And that's all she had. And that's all she had. And that's all I had. And that's all you guys had, because none of us had answers. But when you were parking cars with hope and with love. And would do it again 1,000-fold. Not one of the guys that stood in the rain and ferried cars and people back and forth came in and said, "Man, that stunk. I ain't never doing that again." Scott said, "I blew out the soles of one of my shoes, man, and I was just kept going with wet feet." And you brought two coins that you had. And it was hope. And it was love. You know what it did? It moved heaven. It moved heaven. It moved heaven to the extent that I have not ceased from feeling His presence all week long. Felt it in here so powerful then, but I felt it Wednesday night when I came back in this place. I felt it Friday night at the house, sitting around the fire pit, just the peace with you guys. Not going deep, but yet going to the deepest place, and that's His presence and His peace and His love. And the reason that the Lord carried me to this place and carried me to this scripture and wants me to release this to you guys is that we're going to go through life and we're going to have moments that are crowning achievements and we're going to have moments that are the biggest heartache. And depending on where we are in life, we don't have many coins to bring. How can I add to this moment of great joy? Or how can I comfort in this moment of intense sorrow? You have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that treasure is hope and love that transcends circumstances. You showed up with a lawnmower yesterday wanting to cut grass. Why? Wasn't your duty. It was love. You just wanted to do something. I can cut grass. It speaks volumes. You showed up with a shovel and planted plants. That was hope and love. That was treasure in earthen vessels. You saw it as a service. Heaven saw it as an act of giving yourself. They saw it as an act of giving yourself. Y'all see what I'm saying in this? And it's not just in moments like that, but it's in doing life together, guys. God recalibrated me on doing life with people. And what really matters, and the people that we're connected to. Because we lose sight of that sometimes. And we look at the flaws and the issues and the junk in people's lives, and we're like, you know, man, Chris is jacked up, man. He just makes me mad sometimes. Until I see him the way that Christ in me sees him. Until he sees me the way that Christ in him sees me. When he sees me the way that the Father did, where mercy outran judgment. And he's like, "Whew, man, that's a trophy of grace. It's a trophy of grace." And we embrace that and we do life together with that. And it's not based on whether or not I meet all of your... See, the thing about doing life with guys, we get it with our spouse that I enter into this covenant. You entered into a covenant. I'll pick on you guys for a minute. You entered into this covenant relationship with Casey. And I don't remember, but your marriage vows, they said for better, for worse, for rich or poor, in sickness and health. And you made that claim and you made that vow, and it's called covenant. And we get it. But the thing is that same vow is the vow that I make with TW when I said, I'm going to do life with you, brother. And I'm in covenant with you. And that's the same vow that I make with you, Nick. Is you and Amanda come and join yourself to this company. And I make that vow with you. And I don't even get into the fact that I bet if I pulled Amanda aside, I said, all right, go ahead and clue me in on Nick's flaws so I'm not blindsided when I see some of the junk that surfaces. No, that's not it at all. See, God has planted you in this place and planted us as a company of believers, so we do life together. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. In times of great elation and in times of deepest sorrow. So God wants us to get this thing of doing life together. And sometimes it looks like that we step up in times of despair and seasons of despair. And sometimes it's just... I got the most beautiful picture down here a while ago. I was holding Isabel's hand, but I was locked arms with Doyle. That messed with me. I'm holding a hand and I'm leading and I'm helping walk through and I'm locking arms. And sometimes it's undergirding and lifting up. Sometimes it's sliding a rock under their rear end just so they've got something to sit on. And sometimes that rocks Jesus when they forget about who their cornerstone is. And that's the two mites. And we all come in. I think one reason that people stop doing ministry is because they don't feel like they're being effective. Is that safe to say? Is that why some of you guys shrink back from ministry? You just don't feel... When I say ministry, I'm not talking about praying for somebody in the altar. I'm talking about doing that kind of life because you say, man, I'm just not having any impact. I had that little pity party about 3 weeks ago. I was like, God, I feel like I'm in this place with you. I just feel like I'm so ineffective. And then all of a sudden you just get this, it's rushing in. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And sometimes it just looks like two copper coins. But sometimes two copper coins is the most powerful thing because the two copper coins is what stirs heaven. And it's not the talent of your gifting. It's not in the measure of your voice, but it's in the sound that you release. It's the sound you release, Nick. I don't care if you get out of tempo as long as you're releasing sound. His sound, heaven's sound. Everybody feeling this morning? And realize you have this. Got two copper coins. Even in the midst of my weakest point, I can name about 10 people that's real tangible right now, but that because I'm there, that y'all been sowing copper coins into all week long, and y'all were kind of in survival mode, but you're impacting lives. You're impacting this one. You're impacting this one because you have treasure in earthen vessels. And I get nods from her. That's how we do life together. That's the kingdom way of doing life. That's what matters. That's what matters. Michaela, you're young and you're trying to figure out everything in front of you. You're going to be, a junior next year? I got it right. Be a junior next year. You're going to probably start thinking about colleges next year and what am I going to do and what's my career and what's my husband going to be like. I know TW don't want to hear that, but that's probably going through your mind and all of that stuff, you know, and what's my future and all of this stuff and all of these things. But realize this amazing presence that we've all been feeling and to know His presence and see His beauty, that trumps everything in the natural and the physical. That's why he came in and he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Because our perspective gets proper. And when our perspective gets proper, then everything else is going to take care of itself. Somebody amen with that in here? Because you like be, man, this has been brutal, but in one aspect it's also been amazing. And I want you guys to know amazing every day of the week. I don't want this just to pass in a couple more weeks. I want you to know the amazing beauty of heaven being stirred by a widow's two mites. I want Haven to grow up in that. Not just glimpses here and there. But that's all they know. That's all I want Hunter to know. And then that trumps everything else. Okay? You guys, awesome having y'all here with us. Man, I love you guys. As y'all go through your time in Waco, Georgia. Big Waco, Georgia. Stephen, that's your hometown. They're volunteers for a reason, right? But as you go through this, man, you just the amazing, tangible presence of God and His people and kingdom. I want you to feel that out of these guys. That's what you're releasing. Because you're going to have some, man, they're going to come in and they're going to be jacked up. You're going to be like, oh, God, this guy ain't never going to make it. And then I pray that the Lord will come in and He reminds you, but you have this treasure in earthen vessels. And if you'll release such as you have, then it'll stir heaven and something will be released into their life. Amen. That's what I see on you, brother. As you come in and you engage the Lord every time you're in here. That's one thing I'll say about you. Engage the Lord every time you're in here. God meets you there. He's been downloading into you. And you know what He's downloading into you? It's not amazing gifting and all of that stuff. That's nice and all that. But what He's downloading into you? Two mites. Two mites. Because He said, that's what moves me. And we're like, God, I've got to have this huge, amazing bounty, this plethora of things that I can come in and equip and release and all that stuff. He said, I'm just looking for two mites that will stir. Two mites that will stir me. Because that stirs heaven and that changes lives. Amen. I don't know how we're supposed to respond to this other than to soak in this. And when I say soak in this, I'm not talking about 3 minutes right now. I'm talking about this afternoon. I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about Tuesday when you go back to your job. I wanted to spend a lot of time in Acts 2 and Acts 4 this morning and talk about community, but I think not. Well, perhaps we'll talk about that Wednesday night. But I bet the little widow woman, when she came in, I bet she wasn't thinking that this that I've got, basically our equivalent to about two pennies, it's going to change the world. And yet it did. It's going to stir Jesus, which in turn stirs heaven, but it did. So she said, such as I have, I give. And it was a stretch for her, and it was a sacrifice to her, because it said it was all that she had. She said, man, I have freely received, so I'm going to freely give. And if mercy outruns judgment in my life, then I need to release that same mercy and let that outrun judgment into the life of everybody around me. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet. Oh, man. Lori, you got anything you want to tag on that? Man, you feel His sweet presence this morning. You know what we say? Jesus has come in and he has breathed on a storm or spoken to a storm. And all of the elements of the storm are still there. But he's spoken to it and he commanded it to be still. The raging to be still. All the elements are there, but because he came in and commanded it to be still. And in the back of our mind, you know what we say? Well, life will return to normal in a couple of weeks. Does it have to? Does it have to? Do we have to stop loving like we're loving right now? Do we have to stop giving like we're giving right now? Do we have to stop thinking of it's you come into this place, it's hard to even be mad at anybody. You know? I come in, man, and I look around this room, and I'm not frustrated with a single soul in here. I'm not mad. I'm just not even frustrated. It's just kind of like, whew. So let's not let it return to normal because he wants us to live above normal. He wants us to live supernatural. Okay? We can do that. I know you can do it. I've seen it this week. Let's keep doing that. Here's how I want us to close. I feel pressed on this. This is odd. I know you're going to walk away at me like, that was weird. Nick, will you and Amanda, will y'all come up here, please? Amen. Amen. Good looking little couple right here, isn't it? Both of them are in places of influence. He's a teacher and a coach at Bremen, and she's a teacher and a coach at Carrollton. I like people that God positions them in places of influence. I guess if you've been with us for the last couple months, y'all have seen them as a regular fixture here. And they came up to me a couple weeks ago, and Nick talked to me, and he said, man, God said, we feel like God's planted us here, and we want to join a church. How do you go about joining a church? And I said, well, we're kind of informal on that. We don't have a church role, and we're not going to send any letters or anything like that. I said, but typically what I do is I just bring you down and let the people know that this is family, and this is immediate family, okay? They've been family because they're believers and they love Jesus. Now they're turning into immediate family, okay? Here's my charge to you guys on the heels of where we are. Not on the heels, in the midst of where we are right now. I want us to come down and I want us to pray with them as a couple and pray that they would flourish while they're here, because my desire is for them to flourish in this place. My challenge to you as a body, y'all know the way that y'all have loved on and ministered to Jacob and Stephanie this week in the midst of tragedy? Love on and minister to this couple in the midst of non-tragedy. Because the only that I know of, I'm sure there are things in there, but they're not in the midst of tragedy. They're not in the midst of all of these things that they are other than what they're feeling for them. It's easy for us to step up in a moment. I'm talking about doing life together. Can you love on them and minister to them and pour into them the way that you've been loving on them and ministering to them and pouring into them and interceding for them? And if we do that, then we'll be doing community life the way God told us to. All right? So I want us to come down and I want us to pray with and over Nick and Amanda. You guys got anything y'all want to? Y'all good? Y'all good? Awesome. It's great having you guys with us. I dig it. They are, yes. I believe they're our tribe. And just because of the hunger that I see in them. They like to do stuff that we like to do. They like to be wilderness people and all of that stuff, so that's cool and that helps. But there's got to be something that goes deeper than that. And I don't mean to embarrass her, but one thing that I love is nearly every service when we're here, Amanda's just crying. I love that. Because you're, as long as you are staying pliable to the Holy Spirit like that, He'll do great things in you. And He'll carry you to places you never thought imaginable. Places you never even dreamed of. The Word says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. He'll carry you to places we don't even read about in the Bible. And you say, how does that imagine? Eye has not seen and ear has not heard. As long as you stay open and pliable, Holy Spirit will take you to those places. And it will be amazing. Amazing. So, with that said, y'all come on down. Hey, y'all make a little path for Jacob and Stephanie. I want them to come down and be in the middle of this body. Yes, you can. Y'all come on down. I'm trying to be like so sensitive to you guys and y'all's feelings and emotions and all that stuff. But I know y'all have been blown away by God's love this week. And man, we love you guys so much. And so we just want to continue to pray over you guys and be with y'all and all of that stuff. So let's just pray over Nick and Amanda and fullness of God in their life, and then I've got just a couple announcements, and then we'll dismiss. Okay, amen. Y'all just come on. Y'all gather on in. Come on in here. Y'all just gather in. Just lay hands on somebody in front of you. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for today. We thank you for the joy that we feel today in the midst of sorrow. And we thank you for the peace that we feel in the midst of turmoil. And it's indescribable. And all we can say that it's you. And Father, I thank you for Nick and Amanda and them coming and you planting them here at Victory. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that that they found home. And I pray that this would be a fertile garden for them. That they would flourish in this place. Father, that it would be a thing where that, God, that they're not indoctrinated by a Victory Fellowship, but they're indoctrinated by the Holy Spirit. And that you would teach them, and you would lead them, and you would guide them, and let this be a place where their prayer, their praise, their service, their beloved status gets taken to new levels. And I just speak blessings over their life and their home and their marriage and everything that they put their hand to. Let them be abundant. Let them flourish. Let their realm of influence enlarge. I pray they would impact these kids at the schools, Father, and just use them. I pray that the 2017 and 2018 school year would be an amazing school year for them because of the impact that they have on children. God, I pray for revival in people's lives. Revival in people's lives through them. And Lord, help us do an awesome job of mothering them and fathering them. And just let us host the presence well. Because as we host the presence well, it's going to impact them. And that in turn is going to change society. And we celebrate that today. And we say yes to the stewardship that you've placed in our hands. Lord, while we're gathered today down here again, I lift up Jacob and Stephanie that are in our midst. And Lord, we love them so much. And as a church body, we embrace them. And we undergird them. We slide the cornerstone up under them so they have something to stand on and to sit on. And Lord, I pray that we would just continue to release heaven into their lives, and not only their lives, but everybody that they're associated with, their family and their friends, God. Let us host the presence well, and let them host the presence well, so people see your glory in the midst of trials. God, let them walk through this in your amazing, amazing, amazing grace. And we say yes to covenant with both couples. We say yes to covenant. We say yes to doing life together. Show us how to do it more purely, more perfect. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen and amen. Yes, I like it. I like it. God bless you guys. Y'all have an awesome weekend. We're done. So I'm sorry. Hey, everybody. Whoa. Announcements real quick. Tiff's got an announcement on VBS. And I want to remind everybody, and we'll send out emails. Next Sunday is Family Day. So, Blake House guys, we're going to have some awesome eating next week. I mean, it's going to, Courtney and Scott do some serious cooking, and it's going to be awesome on that. And we'll be, y'all be bring stuff for volleyball. We want to have some good competitive volleyball and all that. So that's next Sunday. And, the baby bottle boomerang for PRC. If you got a bottle, bring it back. Let's try to get that back in so we can get it to them. If you didn't get a bottle, grab a bottle. I've got some over here in the office. And, so just remember that. And Tiff's got an announcement about VBS.
I wanted to announce this morning that we were going to put out a sign up sheet, but Pastor Sid kind of laid the perfect foundation for me to speak today anyway. I was really excited about playing in VBS, and it's been fun, and then we kind of got hit with something that put a lid on it. And I'm sure y'all have lids right now too, but I heard something that Carrie Job had said, kind of going through the loss of her sister's baby, was that I need Jesus more than I need understanding. And that's kind of, that met me in that, because I was kind of in that, all right, Lord, I'm not yours right now. I am, but I'm not really flexible right now. And when I heard that, it reminded me I need him more than I need to understand. And so with that, let's move forward with VBS. Let's be excited about it. That's the next place of kingdom work. That's the next place to pour in to the community. What we did Monday was beautiful, and we can do it again for the week. We can do it for the children. We can honor Rylan at VBS by, I hope to kind of God give me vision of stuff to do for that specifically, but just in our hearts and just in ministering to these kids, they're going to grow up and they're going to be just like us one day, and they're going to go through the same trials one day, and let's meet them there with that. Let's, Monday could have been a horrible day, but it was beautiful. It was, we were here 10, 12 hours. We were working. We were busy, and it was beautiful. I loved every moment of it. I was ministered to. I was filled with joy on a day that there was no joy, and nobody complained. It was, like I said, it was just perfect. And VBS is kind of that week where we gripe. I gripe. I go home, and I'm like, I'm tired, especially when I was pregnant. I was tired. I didn't want to go back the next night. And let's not go back to that. Let's not go back to the hardened hearts. Let's not go back to the backbiting and the frustrations. That same momentum that we have, like you said, don't lose that. And let's let, you know, VBS is just coming up, but there's always going to be more. Our family day is going to be more. The stuff that we're doing is going to be a chance, but VBS is coming. Let's use that as a chance to say, Lord, I don't need a tragedy to keep it. Let's just keep it. And so come out, sign up. It's on the little foyer out there. July the 23rd is going to be the first night, that Sunday night. And then we'll go to Thursday the 27th. That will be family night. I changed my vacation. I rearranged my life. Let's do that together. Let's show up together. Let's have the smiles. Let's not complain like it's always been easy to do. And sign up and then show up with a good heart. Okay?
Amen. Amen. All right, awesome. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we will see everybody Wednesday night. Hey, one more thing, ladies. Ladies' meeting this Thursday night. This Thursday night, ladies' meeting. It's going to be an awesome evening. So, guys, take care of the kids. Take care of your wife so she can come up. It's this Thursday, June 1st at 6:30. So, everybody remember that. We will be sending out emails.